Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Joining us on the Big Fred Tuesday is director Zsuzsa Dobráskus to talk about her film Bébia. Zsuzsa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too. And we are going to be talking about your film Bébia. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yes, Bébia.
Bébia.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And which is part of the International Film Festival of Rotterdam's Tiger competition this year. And if I can quickly just introduce it so that our listeners get an idea of what the film is about, and maybe we will definitely get into it a bit more throughout the course of the interview, but just to introduce it, like I said, it's a film that takes place in the Georgian countryside where a 17-year-old girl returns for the funeral of her grandmother, hence the title of the movie. Now, their relationship was not the best, to say the least, but because of an ancient burial custom, she is asked to connect her grandmother's soul with her resting body by means of a single thread. And so a large part of the film is this mythic journey during which the question of tradition is explored. But there's more in the film than that. But this is a good starting point. And I just wanted to ask you, I mean, is this custom distinctly Georgian, and is it a common custom?
It's from one of the Georgian area. They call it Migrele. It's real burial tradition. It's, of course, in the past, kind of sometimes now people do that, but it's not so common. It's why sometimes in the different area of Georgia, some people even don't, the young people don't know about that, but it's still, it is real tradition. Yes, correct.
And was this the starting point for this film?
No. The starting point was the strange relationship between a girl and her grandmother. It's actually my pain from my childhood. I had a very strange relationship with a grandma. And this pain was sitting in me, and grandmother passed away. But the pain and dialogue with her is still in me. And from this pain, the story came out. And then I decided to do it in Georgia. And there in Georgia, I was introduced by this very unique ritual, which I decided, wow, great, this is what I need for my story. Because the main character come back to Georgia from abroad. And she's not coming back to the very strange situation in the family and for the death of her grandmother, but also when she faced this kind of very strange journey she's supposed to take, very kind of medieval, strange, odd. She's so confused and so kind of absolutely unprepared. And it's probably this journey helped her probably to understand more.
Right. And you did mention the word pain there as you were recalling your own experiences with your own grandmother, mm-hmm. and memories that served as the starting point to this film. Is kind of revisiting those memories a painful process in itself?
No, it wasn't painful. Actually, I used to have it, even in the beginning of my life. I believed everyone had a bad relationship with the grandparents. I didn't know that there is another one. And it wasn't so painful now, but I still have a lot of questions. And the answer is, it's this strange kind of love, that love has very different faces, very different appearance. And finally I understood that probably type of love.
You know, it's interesting because it's almost as if you were saying that working on this film was kind of a type of epic journey, like the one that your main protagonist in the film is kind of undertaking.
Yes, definitely. Filming the film, because it's my first film. I wasn't educated from any film school. I educated from the art school. I was an artist half of my life, and then I started to write stories, short stories. And then I decided to make my own film. And this was huge journey for me because it was very ambitious and very, very, it's very unique experience when you didn't do anything like this before and you don't know how to do it, what to do. The only knowledge I knew, when I did all my storyboards, I did it all myself. I wrote the story and then I kind of draw my film. I saw it in my mind. I was ready because for me, film is still like millions of the pictures together. And when I created these images, I understood what kind of world I want to create and what kind of beauty I want, because it's a beauty. It's a lot about beauty in the film. I hope it is a beautiful film. And I hope that the beauty, even in the pain, can be beautiful. Let's say that.
So it's almost like you had a precise image of what you wanted the film to look like. In the end, did the final work reflect what you had initially in mind and what perhaps you actually had drawn, as you said, in the storyboards that you mentioned?
Yes, 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 absolutely, absolutely. I knew from the beginning it will be a black and white film. I knew that I framed each episode, how it will look like. I found the amazing cinematographer. She is a young Russian cinematographer, Veronika Solovyova. And I knew it's supposed to be in documentary style. It was actually, this wasn't a problem for us. We were prepared for the, at least for the images and locations. We were quite ready for it.
But actually, just returning mm-hmm. to that, to the use of the black and white photography, which I felt was really the right choice to go, because as far as I was concerned while I was watching it, I felt that it lent the film an air of timelessness. But was this part of the reason for going in this direction as far as the look of the film was concerned?
Yeah, yes, yes, correct. Actually, even when we did the school's uniform for the girls, we decided it was completely imaginal school's uniform. Oh. And I didn't want to show exactly what country it is, what year is that. Because Georgia is not well-known location, thanks for the European eyes. I wanted the story to be kind of timeless, but still, of course, we see that sometimes the fonts, which we realize it's probably now. But I think the main things, it was past, which kind of magnet us to the black and white, because I knew the important part of the movie is her past, and I wanted the past to be black and white, and that's why all together the old pictures, we decided we better will play with the shadow and lights and texture of Georgia than with the colors, because I frankly love black and white films. I so much enjoy them. I wanted to play with the nuance of the sunny days, shades, the facture of the walls, old gates, old entrance of the buildings. I believe it's enough for us to show the story.
Yeah, definitely. There's also, it's almost as if the things that are represented then become sculptures in a way. From
correct,
time.
Correct. Yeah. It's more like graphic things and sculpturing than the paintings. Yes.
So, right. We did mention the autobiographical elements and tradition that serve as sort of starting points to the film. But then I'm intrigued now because you did mention that there were parts that were imagined or that were perhaps not completely attached to a specific location, or you mentioned, for example, the school uniforms that were invented. There is a side that is much more fictional. I did read that you have worked in documentary film before, and you mentioned it, I believe, just earlier. So
I didn't work in documentary. No, I just wanted the film to be kind of in documentary style. Not, it's why I decided to choose non-actors. Oh. Because I didn't want anyone to pretend. My effort was to find the characters and then to put them in emotional status and just play with their real emotions, not the pretending things. It's why it's kind of, I hope it looks like a real one, real situations, not pretend ones.
And Zsuzsa, you had just started to tell me that you worked with non-actors on this film, and were there any challenges that you encountered in working with non-actors?
Yes, it's just different. You need to choose different method for it. I believe I found my way to encourage these people to do what I want. And if I want to describe it, it's kind of long story to describe, but one of the important things, no one read the script. No one knew where the stories go, because any time, they know what supposed to be here today on the set, they will pretend something because they know where it goes. But it was not allowed for anyone to read the script. We did it step by step. Just each time I explained what happened to them right now in the situation in this room, or in situation on the cemetery, and we did it step by step, because I believe this is the best way to do with non-actors. And I hope it worked.
You were trying to get that that feeling of real, something being real, mm-hmm. a real relationship between the characters mm-hmm. as well in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
So it's interesting, because I'm discovering that this film sort of emerged from a few approaches that seem very unorthodox and, rare in cinema, very unique. And you did mention that your background is in the fine arts, so it's not specifically in film school, do you feel that sort of helps you have a personal style in the way in which you approach your projects in cinema?
I hope so, because I think I didn't know some of the rules. It didn't limit me. Sometimes when you don't know if you don't know the problems, you avoid them somehow. And I need to create the situation for the characters. I need to put them in the environment which is describing my stories as best as possible, and I need to pull this when they cross each other. Sometimes they even didn't know what another person will ask them on or what to do, and the only way to react on it will be your natural reaction, kind of to keep them in natural possible situation. If, for example, they cook the dinner, if the baby is grandmother in Georgian, the name of the film, baby, it means grandma. And when, for example, amazing woman, she is a music teacher in real life, she was the baby in the film. What I was focused with her, because she was very afraid to do it. She didn't want to do it. She asked me, like, Zsuzsa, are you aware of what you're doing? Because I'm not an actress. I can't pretend. I can't do anything. I don't remember the words. And we were focused, for example, on prepare the dinner. When she do something on the kitchen, she was focused not on the what she's supposed to say or do, but she was focused on what she's doing. And I ask her to really prepare the dinner. It's not pretending you are preparing something. You need to cook. And during the cooking, I told her about, can you imagine if your grandchild is not really your child and the parents is completely do not care about it, and you need to tell them that and try to tell them this kind of all the feelings you feel inside of you. Imagine it's not your grandchild. And because when the non-actor person focused on the action, what they exactly supposed to do there, clean or cook or walk or whatever, eat, it's easier for them to be focused on it and not focused on the dialogues. Dialogues came kind of naturally. If they know the situation, I just ask them to react on this situation, sometimes with their own words. Okay, I explained them what they can say, but no one was reading it many, many times, any lines. You know, it all was verbal, and I think it works with a non-actor.
And just to go back to the meticulousness with which you constructed the imagery of your film, do you find that having specific images already thought out before you started shooting helped with the process of working in this way with the actors?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the only way I think I can do it. When I have the drawings in front of me, we are not with my amazing cinematographer. We didn't think where to put camera. It was already clear. The only things in between of the frame, my amazing cinematographer, she did the we create the movements in between the frame, which we already had. And she did it amazingly because she worked in the documentary before that. And I was specifically looking for someone who knew how to work with documentary movies, how to kind of watching. I ask you just to watch what's happening on the scene, watch with the curiosity and love, you know. And it's how we create the movement for each scene. But it's seen inside. It was first. I constructed the situation inside of the room. Who is doing what? Who comes where? Who? All the choreography of the scene. But then, because we already knew our started point with the storyboards and the end one, and then the cinematographer create this movements around this points, and it works. This actually method, I was happy with that.
Just out of curiosity, given your background in fine arts and you know, your interest in literature and so on, why do you feel that cinema ultimately is the art form that you, at least at the moment, feel so inspired to explore?
Okay, because when I started to write after I was a little bit unsatisfied with my paintings, I decided to write. I decided that gap between the idea and the result will be less if I will write it down. And I started to write short stories, and I published two books with the short stories and numerous stories in the magazines. And a few of my stories were taken by young film directors for their short films. And I worked with the directors, and I understand that I have too much to say myself. I was kind of unsatisfied to work with someone who is doing my story, how I see it, how I wrote it, what is it all about. I was always unsatisfied, and I understood that one day I just understand, Zsuzsa, if you're so demanding, just do it yourself. Why can't you? And I decided to jump from the hill. I decided, okay, it's the time, Zsuzsa. If you believe you can see your story visually, why don't you do it yourself? And this is what I did.
Mm. Did you find it mm-hmm. challenging to work on your first feature? Was it...
Absolutely, Matt. Absolutely. It's like I went to the war. I went to the war each day. I couldn't even... I didn't even keep my head forward. I always looked at the ground because I lived day by day, hour by hour. I understand if I will look far ahead, it's scary to death. I need to do each day the best day I can do with the best people, with the best situation. And step by step, I did it, and it was like a war. It was emotionally so difficult and so brilliant at the same time, because you become a god for some time. You create your own universe, and it's amazing feelings. It's feelings of the power. It's feelings of the, and sometimes I thought, oh my God, there's like 50 people around me. For some reason, they believe in me, like they believe in me, like in God. And I need to know exactly every second what to do, what to tell, where to lead. And it was very difficult, but very amazingly addictive.
Were there ever moments where you stopped believing in your own ability to lead?
No.
You never doubted yourself.
I understand that, somehow in after the probably 10 days of shooting, I understand I'm doing the right things. I'm the right person here. And because for me, the most important things was, oh my God, Zsuzsa, what will happen if one day, if I will come to the set and I will understand it's not what I want. The people probably will not do what I want, or something, the situation goes wrong. What will I do? But then I understand that, no, Zsuzsa, it's what you can, and it's what you're good for. And I like it. I like it. And now, even with the difficulties which we had in post-production, that I'm in the middle of the next script, and I'm like, as soon as possible, I want to film it.
Yeah, so now that you've started, there's no stopping you.
Yeah, machine is kind of
yeah.
started. Yes, correct.
All right, well, Zsuzsa, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. It was nice to talk to you, too.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.